Talk about things we know nothing about. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm joined by two lovely human beings.
Underpinnings of Florida.
Gary is a human being who lives in Florida.
J-E-L-L-O.
He lives in Florida on a pile of Jell-O. And he is Binary Gary on the internet. And Allison is Allison Plus on the internet. She lives in Canada, which is not built on Jell-O. And she is Allison Plus on the internet. And she comes to us with topics typically. Last week we had a bit of an off week, or an odd week, or an even week maybe, in which I came with a topic just ready to go. And we did that one instead, and that threw the entire show off. So this week, we're gonna.
Not from what I said, it was fine. I still had no idea what was going on.
This week, we're gonna go back to the basics and let Allison bring the topics, because that's the way the show is supposed to work.
Unless we just throw it on its ear again, and someone
for
comes
broad
up
definitions
with a topic that nobody knows anything, and none of us know anything about. No, my topic for this week is something that came up multiple times for me until the point where I was like, I guess I should look this up and learn what it is.
Yes.
Because everybody keeps referencing. And I keep nodding, going, yeah.
Oh, boy. Wait, if everybody's referencing it, it's going to be super embarrassing when we have no idea what it is.
No, like everybody being like, yeah. Just, I mean, a smattering, but like two or three people were enough where when you know when you haven't heard of it.
Yeah. What is that phenomenon called? There's a word for that.
Huli Jing.
You like, I don't think that's it. I think that's a holiday.
It's a holiday.
But I know it's in China now and not India, so. It's an eight-tailed fox.
Nine. Right?
So close.
You're one off.
I think I thought eight because eight is such a lucky number. It's weird that nine would be the number of tails because nine is like the number of death or something. So it's not something you commonly use in folklore in China. Anyway,
nine is the number of death. We have to rewind that.
I think so. Maybe someone should Google that. It might be six. I don't know. I guess I still get sixes and nines confused, apparently. Like it's fourth grade. There is one number that you would not want in your phone number. So people will like pay for phone numbers that don't have that number in them, and they will pay extra for phone numbers that have a lot of eights because eight's lucky.
I think that's accurate. I don't know if it's in China.
It might be.
I only know this because of a song by Morphine.
But you said the Bare Naked Ladies.
No, by Morphine.
They reference the song as well.
They have a song called 13th Floor. Check it out.
Okay. right now?
Not necessarily. But I
can't afford the rights.
But they talk about how there's how the chorus is the elevator. There's no on the elevator. There's no 13th floor, and so he talks about other numbers in the that have special significance, and the number nine makes an appearance. So, yeah.
The numerology in China is fun. Like eight is a big deal. Like that's the floor you want your company headquartered on. You would pay extra money.
Do either of you have numbers that pop up for you all the time in your personal life?
53.
Really? Oh, that's really.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yep.
Well, now that makes me want to find out what 53 is in my I Ching based Tao Oracle.
53, because I feel like most people, like, I have, like twos pop up a lot for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like most people have, like, a single digit rather than, like, 53. it just feels, like, more specific somehow.
53 is development. Oh yeah, I pulled.
Well, that's appropriate, isn't it?
Yes, this is about progressing to a common goal and synchronicity, and yeah, I pulled that one.
Interesting.
I don't have a specific number. I don't think. I might just not be. I must not. I might just not be paying attention.
So today's topic was what?
Oh, today's topic is Bloom's taxonomy.
Bloom's taxonomy.
Yeah.
I already love it.
I know. I thought that the would be a crowd pleaser because of the word taxonomy.
Yeah, this is on the tip of my head.
It's not on mine. I mean, I know what a taxonomy is, and I'm guessing that Bloom is a person, given that it is, you know, that person's taxonomy. I'm not going to say his. I would sort of make a generalized assumption that if there's a thing named after a person, probably that person is male, but I don't want to be exclusive because it's not necessarily the case all the time. But in history, I mean, history tends to be written by old white men, so that's a thing. So I would assume, I would assume that Bloom is male, and that, that it's his taxonomy. I don't know. The taxonomy of taxonomy is a grouping of things, so it's his way of sorting the world.
I think that would be the best topic is if I just brought forth, it'd be like calling something like Gary's taxonomy. It's just like, that's just how Gary organizes the things in his life in particular. And like
mostly wants piles.
Other people to adopt it. Piles of Jell-O, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it on the orange stack if it's kind of urgent. The yellow stack if it's not urgent at all. The green stack if you should go ahead and that comes from, was that The Office, I think?
Is it?
Like green, yeah, green. I think that Michael Scott organized his Rolodex that way. Like, go ahead and skip this topic, but make it green. Like red, this is a hot topic you should talk about. It's great. Yeah, totally irrational color coding or inverted color coding. I don't know. That'd be a fun conversation, is how do we end up with these color codes that, like, we all know green, yellow, and red anyway. Have like,
well, you think you know until you realize you're colorblind.
Well, I was going to make that point. So like my colorblind brother-in-law, you know, like I never think about it. Is it red at the top or the bottom of the like stoplight? It's at the top. Pretty confident of. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like if they installed one upside down, like it probably wouldn't affect me. I'd still see the correct colors and go. But would he? Bloom's taxonomy, I think, is related to plants.
It's not the taxonomy of blooming things.
It could be, though.
I'm glad that landed it. Really happy about that. But in all seriousness, I do think that it has to do with plants. I think it, I think it's wrong, though. I feel like I know what this is. Goodness.
I think
and that's why I can't, like, make up answers, because I feel like I'm going to end up, like, walking down a path and forgetting what I knew.
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know, apparently. So
forgetting what you knew.
Anything, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't know it. I think Bloom's taxonomy is a way to group appliances. So like refrigerators.
Were you big fans of Mitch Hedberg?
And stoves over here, and you know, over here is dishwashers. Yeah.
No, not a Mitch Hedberg.
Does an appliance have to have an electrical source?
No.
No.
Like a hand crank ice cream maker is still an appliance, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was going a little bit more old school than that, thinking of like wood stoves and things. And
okay.
Mitch Hedberg had this thing where he talked about like it'd be great to have the job where you name appliances. Like it's the microwave because it microwaves, right? But then he talked about things like the toaster toasts. He's like, how did the refrigerator not get called the colder? I'm trying to remember what else. He was a funny dude. I don't know.
The colder.
Yeah. Because there are some other ones, and there were probably better
examples. Refrigerates?
Yeah, that might not be the one he talked about. Maybe he talked about something else, and I don't remember it correctly. Just like Bloom's taxonomy has nothing to do with plants.
Hitchhiker was the one. He had the bit about how rice is great when you want to eat 1,000 of something.
Yes. Yes. In that same segment, someone was like, he said, my friend asked me if I want a frozen banana, but I didn't want a frozen banana now. I want a regular one later. So I said, yeah. Delivery is just what makes everything so good. It's so good. As delivery was what made things so good.
As opposed to our delivery, which makes everything far worse than it actually is.
No, I mean, that's the case at all. For quite a while, I was really into stand-up comedy, because it was funny, but also because I was really curious about, why was delivery so important, right? Like, Mitch Hedberg's gig was, if you just said that, if my friend said, do you want a frozen banana now? And I said, and I thought, no, but I want a regular one later, so I said yes. There's not a lot of humor in that. But the delivery and the timing makes a big difference. So then I was reading on functionally, what happens in the brain with humor a little bit. And there's great research out there. So I'm going to encapsulate and entirely botch it. You should read the research instead. But what it came down to was the result of firing unexpected synapses that aren't related in your brain. And that's why we find it humorous. So then I was thinking about how does that play out with timing? And I think the answer with timing is that because we are smart and we're expecting a punchline, that when the punchline comes and it's just, the punchline is that you already knew the punchline because of the timing. That's when you talk about that, I thought, I don't want a frozen banana now, but I want a regular one later. That's the punchline. So I said, yeah, that timing, oh, here comes the punchline. Punchline is just, yeah. No, you already knew the punchline. Yeah. It's really fascinating to think about why that's funny. Now that I've beaten it to death and it's no longer funny, though.
You can't help that.
No, it's pretty much what I do.
thinking about the way, what you're saying about firing synapses that don't necessarily connect to each other made me think of Eddie Izzard. Because he often makes weird links between often opposing,
yeah.
like cake or death, tea and cake or death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the revolution, which is cake or death.
Yeah. He's really interesting. I saw him do, cause he does multilingual comedy, mm-hmm. As an additional challenge. And I saw an interview with him.
I watched a show of him doing a gig in France. And speaking French at least some of the time, and I have no idea what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then I'm wondering as I'm watching this, how the language difference from an English person speaking in a language that is not their native language, how does that change the timing and the delivery?
So that's interesting. Did you find it you clearly knew when the joke was delivered.
Yeah.
When the punchline landed, whatever the punchline was.
Yeah, because he's pretty, because the way that he delivers things, I mean, you know how to sort of watch for.
I wonder if that would still be the case had you not known him first in English.
Right.
If you only exposed him in French and there was no laugh track, would you know when the punchline hit, and would you inherently find it humorous having no idea what was said? And I think the answer is you wouldn't find it as humorous, but you would still find humor in it in some way.
Yeah, because he does, facial expressions.
Yeah.
But his thing was that a one-to-one translation. You have to figure out how to navigate the rhythm of this different thing in a way that will still impact the audience. And that's why he was choosing to do it. He said, because it was an added challenge. Not to say that he was so able to make people laugh in English all the time, but it was just a way.
Too easy. I need to. Yeah, do it in a language I know, and then next I'll do it in a language I don't know and see what happens. No, I mean, it's I think to your point, like, you have to know the language to create that weird, like,
that unexpectedness.
Thing. Yeah.
Not
yeah,
just like ordering a coffee.
Yeah, or where is the bathroom? Or I need beer. Like, the, you know, the standards.
I need beer. I need beer.
Well, in so often in languages, like, if you can say I need, like, you can put whatever you need in the end, and even though it's like an infantile way to say whatever it is, like, they understand, like, this dumb American doesn't speak my language, but I can still help them. Yeah. Yep. Speaking of languages, did you watch the debate last night?
I did not. I did not watch the debate. I didn't realize that it was happening last night until late last night.
we split a bottle of wine and watched it.
Yeah, how was it?
One tonight. That was pretty good.
I heard Elizabeth Warren did well.
I thought so. I can't remember her name from Hawaii.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. There's 47 people that qualify.
Oh my
I don't think it's 47. I think it's 25. Still, like 10 were on stage last night and 10 will be on stage tonight. I think that's the number.
So, yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it happened several times where I'm like, wait, who is this?
Yeah. That's
then we started giving them nicknames like Crazy Eyes and like the other bald guy and like that. So that's not going to help.
Samantha Bee did a segment last week, sort of about the upcoming debate, and basically her whole thing was, run for frickin' Senate, because it doesn't matter if we win the presidency, and the Senate is still controlled by stupid white Republican assholes.
But none of this precludes any of these folks from running. I think this field's going to be cut down pretty quickly.
I hope so. I was hoping it'd be cut down before the debate started so that we only had like a reasonable number of people debating, not 20, not like.
I was going to say about language, though, that there were quite a few folks that addressed the audience, and it was broadcast on Telemundo as well. So quite a few answers that were completely in Spanish, which was nice.
I hope Elizabeth.
I can tell right where the punchline was.
I hope Elizabeth Warren did not break out her Spanish.
She did not.
That's good.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
The thing that she needs not at all is appropriating yet another culture.
That's fair. That's a really valid point. And we were discussing like, that guy interrupts a lot. And then we were discussing like, well, that's like. The strategy. The problem with debates is that so much of it is just like the strategy coming in, like, oh, you need to make a name for yourself, so interrupt a lot. Like, well, Interrupty was the guy at the left end.
Yeah, then that makes you look like an asshole.
That was my takeaway. That guy's an asshole. Until the end when they ask, he's a former something.
It does win you points tactically, though. I mean, that's how Trump won debates, is by saying wrong. Like in the middle of Hillary Clinton talking, like, nope.
I found it somewhat striking too that there was a, and I don't know if this will maintain when we get to the real debates, but there was a very marked difference in the way female candidates approached like aggression in general. And I'm sure that was a result of like studying how Hillary fared, which, I mean, it was more notable for a lot of reasons and like very little of what people said. So the problem is we don't have a great way like Bloom's taxonomy to like categorize them. It's ranked choice voting.
Winners versus the losers.
Yeah. 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 I feel like it would be better as a reality show and we could vote people off during the debate.
There you go. Yeah.
Anything that got people voting.
That should just be the presidential elections, period. Like just the entire election process is just a reality
show. You are the weakest link.
We've already gotten halfway there by electing a reality show host as president. We might as well go all the way. And like the reality show starts 2 years before the actual election. And then it's just like,
isn't that pretty much like, what
the longest like,
Democrat in one house?
I don't feel like, I mean, it's, I feel like it's there. I mean, they're in one country. I mean, that's it, you know, one country, you know, 27 networks. I mean, 47 candidates.
For who has to leave the house in this year's Democratic primary. And then of course the primary election would be like, so the Democrats should have their house, and then the Republicans would have their house, and then when they've narrowed down to their single candidate, then the presidential candidates would need to live in a house and be out.
Here's the other thing though. I think 47 is probably okay because it's 2019. You know? I mean, like, we're only halfway through 2019. The election's November of 2020. We need to get that number down before 2020 starts, but
I feel like that's
there's
more than there have been in the past, and that number like should be like, I mean, if it's 10 now, it would be still kind of a lot. And like, I'm all for choice, but like, there's also like analysis paralysis, and like, there's just too many options. And I think that's something that's affecting voters and affecting the party and affecting people who are not planning on voting for Trump in 2020, because like, there is no one that we can say, yeah, that person, I agree with that person. Like, I'm definitely with them. Like when Obama ran in that year that he ran, like he was a clear standout for me anyway. Yeah, that's someone that I can vote for. That's someone who has my vote. Like, knowing nothing about there should be some amount of name recognition. Like Elizabeth Warren, you know who he is. I just misgendered. You know who she is. Joe Biden, you know, because of being vice president and also grabbing people a lot. And I think that name recognition is the reason why people voted for Donald Trump, because they knew who he was. And then even like interviewing, like, why did you vote for Donald Trump? Well, I knew what to expect, and I expected him to be an asshole. That's who he is. Okay, well, we're electing assholes now just because of name recognition.
And with that,
I thought I liked Joe Biden, but
if any asshole can do it, this asshole can. I can't stand Logan.
Yeah, but don't run in 2020, Gary.
What should I do, 2021 or?
Yes. When, 2021, yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many candidates, unless you're going to run as an independent. You can run as an independent in 2020.
Yeah.
You can run as independent in 2020.
For quite a while, I was a member of an independent party in Florida that like came into existence when Nader was running, and then like it just kind of still exists but does nothing.
That's not the Natural Law Party, is it? No.
It is the Ecology Party of Florida.
Ecology Party, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, I think like the numbers looked at, there were like dozens of us registered in my county. And probably many of them have just never updated, right? So, like, yeah, I came to them not very long ago. Yeah.
When I first registered to vote, I looked at all the different like party descriptions and whatever, and I was like, and I registered as Natural Law, which I don't know if the Natural Law. I mean, it's another one of those like, yeah, they kind of exist, but it's like 0.05% of the vote thing, and they definitely do not exist in Utah.
So Florida's a closed primary. So for the primary, I need to be registered. But then, like general, I need to switch so that I'm registered as third party, so the statistics increase as far as third party representation at the polls. Doesn't impact anything else I vote there. So that's my strategy going forward, is to register as some weird party for the general.
I think I'm registered as a independent currently, because natural law doesn't exist and Green Party doesn't really exist in Utah either, which would be the two things that I would register for. But the Democratic primary is open in Utah, so we get those anyway.
Is the Republican primary open as well? Or is it, No. Is you have one primary and
Republican is closed.
That's interesting. In Florida, it's they're both closed, and I think it's law.
But I think it's because the Democrats are so few in the state, because it's a red state, that like they need all the help they can get, so they leave it open, and the Republicans are like, yeah, no.
What's the value in that, having an open primary?
I think the idea is numbers. Like, you get, if you make it easier for people to vote, then you get your.
But the primary count
doesn't matter. Yeah,
the general certainly does. Yeah, this whole system's fucked up.
Yeah. Yes. I'm still in favor of voting reform, where we do first choice, second choice, third choice.
Yeah.
Especially with something like 20, 40, 80 candidates for your primary. Give me.
What's interesting is there were a lot last night. I'm like, oh, that would be a great individual on the VP slot. So I had that reaction a lot more than I thought presidential last night. But I also don't think that needs to happen last night. Like, that needs to happen during presidential debates, not.
So Bloom's taxonomy is a way to group presidential hopefuls.
Is that it? It'd be great if it was. It would make like the last conversation pertinent to the topic.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to bring it around. I was trying to bring it home as we got to the last 10 minutes.
In all sincerity, I do believe it has something to do with plants, and
You've said that about 5 times, so it's going to be really funny when it's not.
I know. What is it? I'm still going to be like, oh, I knew what that was.
So it's named after someone called Dr. Benjamin Bloom.
I was a white male.
I believe so. and it's a classification of learning objectives that for educators that you set for students. So it divides into cognitive, affective, and psychomotor.
I was a education major for a semester.
That's why you knew what it was.
No, I didn't.
Obviously, you failed that test, and that's why you didn't go to college.
That was the second semester that you didn't go to. You only were in that one.
I mean, that's accurate. That was like my second chance at college. For one semester.
Yeah, this has come up for me like 2 to 3 times in the past few weeks about being like, well, you know, in Bloom's taxonomy, and just me being like,
Of course I knew that. That's interesting.
But yeah, different learning styles, basically. So take that and go forth with your homeschooling, unschooling.
Flowering.
It's basically the stuff that you're applying anyway. It's just like a fancy word for it.
Because that's what the world needs, is more fancy words for things we're already
fancy
doing.
Words for simple things.
I mean, it's what I want to be known
that's
for.
That's what the show's built on.
It used a lot of fancy words.
So I definitely want to give a shout out to what was that show that you see? Now I'm
The Office.
No, not that one. No, the one that Allison shared with us yesterday.
Oh.
I watched it. I watched them yesterday. Under a rock.
Oh, Under a Rock.
Yeah, I would definitely want to give a shout out to Under a Rock with Tig Notaro. It definitely has a corollary with this show. For those of our listeners and possibly the people on this call who don't know, Under a Rock by Tig Notaro. She is someone who does not follow pop culture, doesn't watch a lot of movies or TV shows, and so she hosts famous people on her show and doesn't know who they are. And then over the course of the show kind of sort of tries to guess who they are, like what their name is and what they're famous for. And it's really, really awkward, very much like this show. She doesn't know what you're talking about, very much like this show. But it's also the thing that I found interesting about it and the thing that I like about it is because it sort of forces like actual like real conversations and real personalities to happen with these people who go on the talk shows. And typically they're like, oh, what's your project that you're working on? Like, tell me about the next movie that you're working on, or like, what was it like to work with Prince, or like, you know, nothing that's really about them as a person. Whereas this is like a conversation between two individuals, which is really interesting. And they're like, and there's no like sort of like, you know, stars in the interviewer's eyes or anything. They're not trying to like make this person out to be some huge like mega star. It's just like, oh, you're a person, I'm a person, we're people, like we're just having a conversation. I'm trying to figure out who you are, but I have no idea who you are, because why would I? Because we don't know each other. Like, of course I don't know who you are.
I think I also enjoyed the component of like the person being interviewed who she doesn't know who they are, what they're famous for. It was almost like an amusement of like, it's like an unfamiliarity of not being recognized.
Yeah.
And so like, there was like a novelty in that to them of just
especially,
being like pleasant.
Especially with James Vanderbeek. James Vanderbeek was like cracking up that she didn't know who he was like the entire time. Like, really? Like this, like he showed, so they give her clues. To like guess what they're famous for. And so he gave her a clue of the creek in Dawson's Creek. He like gave her a picture of that. And she's looking at it. He's like, a river. And he's like, no, smaller than a river. A stream. No, it's less rapid than a stream. A creek. Yeah, it's a creek. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. That's so good. So I need to watch that. I saw that yesterday and then like opened the tab and left it there.
It's good. There's only four episodes. There are only four episodes, and they're less than 10 minutes. So it's a very short time suck. but yeah, it's definitely recommended. I thumbs up from this part of Binary Jazz.
2 out of 3 thumbs for Binary Jazz.
Third thumb
to be determined.
I'll give a provisional thumbs up because the description sounds fantastic. I just can't speak to it yet because I'm not knowledgeable of it. Oh wait, how has that stopped me before?
The entire point of the show.
Yeah.
Do we have any listener questions, or do we just have Allison questions?
We just have Allison questions.
Okay. Not that that's a less than, but
yeah, no, it's not at all. Which direction does it go? Okay, that one's older. If you could be any member of a TV sitcom family, which one would you choose?
I don't know.
I think if the Cosby Show is mentioned, like the Huxtables, we probably should just end the entire podcast.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I was trying to think like, what TV families do I know? That's one that I know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I am passingly aware of Bill Cosby.
I feel like
I would go between the Growing Pains family and yeah. Family Ties.
I think I wanted to be in those families growing up. Yeah.
I want to be an elf.
Okay.
That's fair. There's also the family in the Dinosaurs TV show. I don't know that I'd want to be in that family.
Oh man.
Being a dinosaur would be cool.
I'm the baby dad. I love me. I'm mama.
I totally forgot about that show.
I tried watching it not too long ago.
I don't know that age as well.
Is that because
of the correlation that was made during the Trump campaign between Trump and the angry boss? Is that why you watched it?
I don't know if that's what brought it to like my like awareness again or not, but. I'm not sure. It was about that time, so that probably was. I ran into it somewhere in media and went, oh, I wonder how that show is these days, and watched it and was like, eh.
I recently...
They did some interesting things in that show.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the episodes. I mean, they're... But, eh.
I recently, so I used a GIF recently of Max Headroom to indicate like somebody sort of like, not stuttering, but like a repeated like technical glitch. Yes. And then I was like, but why do I know who Max Headroom is? Like, what is the story of Max? So then I did it. I went down a rabbit hole of like Max Headroom lore and like,
wow.
There's a whole TV show that I don't think I was even aware of because I think I only saw him like on MTV, but there's a movie about him. There's a whole backstory about how like he's an artificial intelligence that came out of like the thoughts and memories of a journalist who died. And like, then he was uploaded into this Max Headroom like talk show forum. There's all sorts of like, and it was on British TV, and there's like deliberately picking somebody with like an American like accent for the purpose of like being like a smarmy kind of like TV guy. It's
interesting because really, Max Headroom made it into my consciousness recently as well. So
it's one of those things that I don't think ages well, and I don't think that like, I mean, kids today aren't going to know who Max Headroom is.
That was the situation.
Yeah.
A kid like, I don't know, 5 years younger than me. Something. Oh, probably long, probably more than that.
Kids today.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I think, did he make a cameo on RoboCop too? I mean, he was just all over the place for like...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter @BinaryJazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.